On September 5th, 2018, a beautiful 29-year-old woman met a younger 24-year-old man at Bill's Burgers in New York City for an evening meal and chat. As they enjoyed the burgers, they conversed over subjects like theology, philosophy, and politics. After all, she had a degree in political science and international relations from the University of Arizona. After a couple of hours of chatting, the young man was so impressed that he said, "I'm going to date you." That young man was Charlie Kirk, and that beautiful woman, Miss Arizona of 2012, would become his wife, Erica. On May 8th, 2021, they were married and later had two children, the eldest being a little girl named Sarah Rose. This last week, Erica suffered under the assassination of her 31-year-old husband at the University of Utah. He was killed by a 22-year-old radical leftist man because he disagreed with his views. In our lifetime, there has not been a more widely impactful death that has literally reached around the world with prayer vigils and moments of silence. England, New Zealand, the United States, South Africa, Spain, Australia, Chile, Colombia, Hungary, Japan, Belgium, Israel, and Germany have all recognized the terrible tragedy. Millions of tears have been shed over a man that most have never talked to or personally met. It's as if the world considered him an intimate family member that had been a very close companion, full of sagely wisdom, that had shockingly and suddenly been killed. Virtually without fail, every single person who praised Charlie would first emphasize that he was a husband, a father, and an unapologetic follower of Jesus Christ. Those were the primary things on the list of laudable attributes everyone recognized about him. So many others said things like, he was amicable or friendly, sociable, good-natured, agreeable, affable or pleasant, cordial, kind, likable, and good-humored. But he would be the first to admit he was just a sinner who had been forgiven and saved by Jesus Christ. He became a personal friend of President Donald Trump and his family, as well as Vice President J.D. Vance. Everyone in Washington, D.C. knew who Charlie was. Every political pundit provided impressive commentary on someone they considered a friend, from historian Victor Davis Hanson, Dennis Prager, Tucker Carlson, Ben Shapiro, Sebastian Gorka, Larry Elder, Eric Metaxas, Glenn Beck, and Megyn Kelly, and I could name tons more. There were others like Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, Joe Biden, and Gavin Newsom who offered their condolences. This assassination has been so jarring, so worldwide, that I would be doing a disservice by not addressing it this morning. As followers of Christ, how are we supposed to react to such a heinous crime committed against such a wonderful young man? Let's pray. Father, we don't have words for expressing our grief. It is just down inside deep where you dwell. You are the one that can bring comfort to souls who are suffering, who never knew Charlie. You can cause us to raise up prayers for those who are in dire straits, not knowing what to do from this point simply because they're so confused. How could this happen to such a wonderful man and his family? How could this happen to somebody who has been so impactful and such a witness for you? Father, we know that the world is full of evil, and this is evil at its core. But I pray that you'd bring some semblance of understanding, and that you would soothe the wound that has been left behind. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there are people posing ideas, statements, and questions such as, how are we supposed to make sense of all of this? What do we do now? Or others would say, we need to rise up and go on the offensive. If you're familiar with Steve Bannon on his podcast, The War Room, he said this, and I quote, This is not a time for unity. This is a time for justice. What does that even look like? How do we deal with the pent-up anger that is produced by such a tragic event? It appears the assassin has bought into the ideology of Antifa, and can anything be done about that? He had a relationship with somebody who is a transgendered man that is transitioning to a female. Why are there so many who hold to this ideology, killing innocent people, including young children? People just want to fix this. Some just want justice. Some want unity. Some are dealing with the idea of forgiveness. Most everyone wants to make sense of this senselessness, this senseless catastrophe, so the pain, sorrow, grief, and anger will be eased, because it makes us feel so uncomfortable, so bad on the inside. What do we need to know, and how should we respond as disciples of Jesus Christ? Now, if you didn't know who Charlie was, and I have watched him over the years, not intensely, but I have watched a lot of what he has had to say. Now, Charlie, I believe, was a hero of the faith, a brother in the Lord, and a fantastic witness. He was an exemplary husband and father. You know, he had turned to his wife almost daily. And this is according to Erica's statement, that he would say, "How can I be a better husband? What can I do to serve you better?" He was an exemplary husband and father in high school. You know, he led a protest against the price of cookies in the cafeteria. He got those lowered. When he was 17, he wrote an op-ed that said his economics textbook was promoting liberal ideas that led to his first appearance on national TV. A year later, he founded Turning Point USA at age 18 to take on liberal groups on college campuses, building thousands of chapters. I just found out this morning there's some dispute on how many chapters there are. When I did a search on the internet, it said 9,000. TPUSA, Turning Point USA, posted something that said that there were, what was it, Patty? 18,000. And then Fox News just came out again this morning and said there were 32 or 33,000 requests for new TPUSA chapters on schools and in colleges. You know, in 2016, he spoke at the Republican National Convention. During Trump's first term, he claimed to have visited the White House at least 100 times. He was credited with delivering the youth vote in the 2020 election. I don't know how many kids he had registered to vote, but it made a difference in that election. He promoted the nuclear family. He reached out to young men and touted the benefits of getting married and taking on the responsibility of providing for a wife and children. His message of pro-life, pro-family, masculinity, and charity are ubiquitous on social media platforms like TikTok, Instagram, and X, reaching millions. Every chance he got, he would communicate to others the necessity of asking Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. When asked on June 29th, 2025, on a podcast, how he would want to be remembered, this is what he said, I quote, "I want to be remembered for courage for my faith. That would be the most important thing in my faith, or is my faith." So he was for Jesus Christ, and unapologetically so. You know, he was a college dropout. He went to Harper College for 1 year, and then he dropped out. He ran multiple organizations, the Turning Point USA, which turned out to be a $100 million company. He was challenged and brought forth, I don't know if a lawsuit was brought against him. They said that he was making too much for such an organization. And I think his salary was $300,000 for a $100 million organization. There was also Turning Point Faith for churches and political involvement. He started the Professors Watch List in 2016 to report discrimination against conservative students, and that also promoted leftist or radical ideologies in the classroom. Maybe you saw that on the news, and the professors were getting really upset because they were being exposed, as well as their colleges. He debated at the Oxford Union. I don't know if you saw that, but it was just incredible how he was able to put down the arguments that stand against truth. TPUSA just posted, and I said this, they have 18,000 chapter requests, and they thought they had 9,000, but it got up to 32,000, apparently, as reported by Fox News. He was a podcaster. He wrote columns, spoke at various venues over 100 times a year, visiting 30 to 50 college campuses. Major conferences he would participate in are America Fest, Student Action Summit, Faith and Freedom Coalition. He frequently spoke at evangelical churches and Christian leadership summits. He possessed incredible recall and had an insatiable desire to gain information and retain facts for debate purposes, which were always civil. Have you ever watched him just spout off statistics? That he would have just a list of them, and it would take down, again, those arguments which stood against truth. He was fantastic on it, and I could go on. Now, there is a lot of vitriol, malicious cruelty, and contempt on the left. I don't know if you've witnessed this, but there have been hundreds of postings that have been made of people celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Surprised that it hasn't happened sooner, somebody said. They should also get his wife and children next. I saw that one this morning. People were being fired for posting praise of the shooting. One guy boasted that he was able to successfully get 28 people fired for praising the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Videos of people dancing in the streets, reveling in Charlie's murder, are all over the internet. There was a purposeful downplaying of the assassination of Charlie by at least one member of the mainstream media, that outlet being MSNBC, that ran with the headline, "Conservative Influencer Charlie Kirk Dead After Shooting at Utah University." They didn't use the words assassinated, murdered, or killed. It didn't fit the narrative, so to speak. In a September 13th, 2025 video clip of Reverend Dr. Chuck Curry, a United Church of Christ minister with a doctorate in ministry from Pacific School of Religion and a history of social justice advocacy, he said this, and I saw the video. "As a Christian minister, I must say that Charlie Kirk is not a martyr for Christ. He used his platform to preach hatred and division, including anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, racism, misogyny, and homophobia, often a part of a white Christian nationalist agenda." That man is a false teacher. That's who that is. I have personally seen videos, especially this one, was Christian national agenda. He goes, "I've never put those two words together. I'm not even sure I know what that means," to somebody who accused him of that in a meeting. And anti-Semitism? He was a Zionist, for heaven's sake. He loved Israel. I have a picture on my computer right now where he's standing on the Mount of Olives looking towards the Temple Mount with his wife. And they did the same thing when Rush Limbaugh died. Remember that? This one man, Paul Tompkins, he wrote this, "If I had to say anything positive, I guess I'm glad Rush Limbaugh lived long enough to get cancer and die." Another man said, "Rush Limbaugh was a terrible person while he was alive. His death does not in any way change or redeem that." This person wrote, "God has canceled Rush Limbaugh." And this one final person, "Feeling sorry for the people of hell who now have to deal with Rush Limbaugh for the rest of eternity." I mean, there is just evil people. This is demonically inspired. If you did not know what evil looked like, this is it. Does the Bible have anything to say about this heinous crime? Now, this morning, I'm not going to go too long. Yeah, I didn't want to hop back into Peter. I didn't want the focus taken off of that. And I'm just going to give us a few things here this morning about how we're supposed to react to this. But I wanted to make sure I covered it for you. So first, does the Bible have anything to say about this heinous crime. Now, we have just emerged from a time of wickedness that was at its peak in this country during the Obama and Biden administrations. Free speech was curtailed. Threats were made against politicians and Supreme Court justices for overturning Roe versus Wade. Lawfare was used against Trump, J6 citizens, and a group of nuns called the Little Sisters of the Poor, because they didn't want their money going to pay for abortions. And when there is such wickedness in high places, what do people normally do? You know, if the leadership is completely corrupt, what is the first thing righteous people have a tendency to do? Proverbs chapter 28, verse 28 spells that out. When the wicked rise to power, people go into hiding. But when the wicked perish, the righteous thrive. As I see the wicked agenda perishing, I see people coming out of the woodwork. Just like the TPUSA charters that want to get started. People are coming forth saying it's safe to do so right now. It's safe to speak out and call things out that are wrong. Now, this is exactly what happened in this country for the most part. People tried to fly under the radar when these administrations were in place. Corporations were buckling under the pressure from the government to install DEI and woke policies to avoid being targeted by radical groups that were funded by our tax dollars through U.S. aid. Remember when Trump got elected the first time, all those pink hats that were on the women that protested his inauguration? Those pink hats were paid by you and me. The government, people in the government, gave funding for that. They gave funding for all of these groups that go out there and protest en masse. They're the ones that printed up the signs. That's why Trump got rid of U.S. aid. This must never happen again. People recognize that those elected to the task of protecting the blameless in this country were not prosecuting crime quickly and protecting the innocents from harm. Because of this, crime actually increased all the more. The Bible says this is the inevitable case. In the English Standard Version, it says here, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil. Have you seen an increase in crime? But has the left sequestered, suppressed the crime statistics, changing felonies to simple misdemeanors? They have been doing this to try to say that crime has gone down. They are lying to all of us. And by the way, this comes from the Democrat leftist party. I don't know how anyone can belong to that party in good conscience anymore and say that they are believers in Christ. It is a double standard. Can righteousness come from a foul mouth? No, it can't. Can good water come from a foul spring? No, it cannot. Now, these inactions have led to the deaths of several people for no reason. Our culture as a whole has tolerated wickedness and not pushed back against evil. Now, Charlie Kirk, he was assassinated on September 10th. Of course, we celebrate or recognize the fall of the Twin Towers on September 11th. We will not forget September 10th or September 11th. Erna Zarutska, she was stabbed to death on August 22nd by a man who was a repeated felon. And I'm told, now I was going to check this morning, but I am told by one of the reports. And by the way, there are so many reports that are wrong out there, and you have to be careful. And that's why I'm giving this caveat on this one. It is reported, allegedly, that he walked away and he said something along the effect of, "Got another white person," as he stabbed her in the neck 25 to 30 times. And nobody did anything on the train. They did nothing. They just watched it. And then the Covenant School in Nashville, Tennessee, on March 27th, 2023, three children and three staff were killed. The tragedy at the Annunciation Catholic School in Minneapolis, Minnesota, shooting two children and killing them. Club Q in Colorado Springs, In November 19th, 2022, 5 killed, 40 injured. STEM school, Highland Ranch, Colorado, 1 student killed, 8 injured. You look at this, and all of these were caused, except for the Erna, was caused by somebody who is in the transgender community. Does this not cause you to look at what are we doing if there's so many murderous thugs who are out there killing people left and right because we want to accommodate their mental illness of thinking that they can become the opposite sex or thinking that they are no sex at all? It's ridiculous that we go down this path of believing a falsehood. If they can get us to believe absurdities, they can get us to commit atrocities. And we cannot forget that. Now, we have an increase of evil in this country with some pushback, with very few results. But I think there could be a change for the better in our future. There is a verse that is extremely important that Erica, Charlie's wife, quoted in her tribute to her husband on September 12th from the book of Romans. I think you know it. And we know that in all things God works for the good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Sometimes this verse can be used in an insensitive manner, but it is Charlie's wife who understands the depth of this verse. No matter what happens to us as individuals or as a group, God is working for our good because we love God, even though we cannot see it. We may see it on the other side of eternity, but speaking frankly, it's not going to matter once we are up there. I mean, if you think of Charlie, what he is doing right now, he's probably sad that he has been removed at such an early age, but he's in glory. And the things of this life have gone strangely dim for him. And we will all see him again, and so will his wife, and so will their children if they accept the Lord. Now, how can good possibly come out of this? And it's a natural question that arises. You know, are you familiar with this verse, John chapter 12, verse 24? Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. How much fruit do you think has already come out of the assassination of Charlie Kirk? This thing is worldwide. Even, you know, John F. Kennedy and his assassination, I remember that. I was only 5 years old, but I remember sitting in front of the television, my mom standing behind me, and it was black and white, and it was real blurry, and the cart being pulling the casket of John Fitzgerald Kennedy down Pennsylvania Avenue. I recall that so vividly. I don't recall much from that age, but I recall that. That didn't have the worldwide impact as this has had. You know, down in New Zealand, you know, the Maori, the people that are indigenous to New Zealand, you know, they stand and they get that funny look on their face. That they wouldn't call it funny. That would be an insult to them. But they get this fearful look on their face and they start chanting back and forth. They did that to honor Charlie. Have you seen the protest along with Tommy Robinson? Not to be confused with Tyler. But Tommy Robinson, who is in England, who is pushing against all of these DEI policies and the immigration policies of the UK, there was like 100,000 people walking down the streets and they were recognizing Charlie Kirk as well as Tommy Robinson in protest of what they are trying to do. There's a group of individuals around the world and they are demonically inspired and controlled trying to change this world, trying to reduce the population, trying to take away prosperity from everyone. And Charlie's death has awakened so many people and grieved so many hearts that never even gave it a second thought. And now it's like they're waking up. So what have we seen as a result of the assassination of Charlie? It is a worldwide response of epic proportions. Charlie's videos, as I have said, are all over social media proclaiming truth. His words make so much sense, and it has been suppressed for so long. People are gravitating to it. Like the scripture says, a deer pants for the water, just like we should pant for the Word of God. People are gravitating to that. They're holding on to the truth that he has proclaimed for so long. His words about God, his love for us, engaging in conversation and not violence, his pro-life message, pro-marriage, pro-God have all resonated with the world. But it has taken a death for these truths to come to the forefront and be presented worldwide. The world agrees this event is so wrong and something must be done. A turning point has been initiated. We are all looking for some answers, some explanations to justify what has happened. Pastor Greg Laurie, he said this, "We don't live on explanations. We live on promises, the promises of God. We will never have our answers, or we will never have full answers to the questions that we have in our minds. We will never be able to turn to somebody and say, this is exactly why this took place. And we're comfortable with that because God has given us a promise that these things will one day cease when the new kingdom is here. So I'm going to give you some truths. I think I have five truths here. Number one, we will never fully understand why Charlie was murdered this side of heaven. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's the first truth. The second one, we need to grieve individually and corporately for Charlie's family and because of his murder. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. It's certainly a time to weep. Matthew 5, 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Truth number three. This will ultimately work out for good. Romans 8, 28. I've already given it to you. Everything works for good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Truth number four. This one's hard, but it's right. Pray for the assassin that he would repent and seek forgiveness from God, Charlie's family, and the world. Luke chapter 15, verse 10. It says, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of his angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, this repentance, Patty and I were talking about this. How do you forgive somebody who committed such a heinous crime? I don't think we can. Without God, there's no way. Does that mean that justice is put off to the side? No, it doesn't mean that. You know, in Luke chapter 15, verse 10, this is the fourth truth that is hard. In the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. They're just throwing a party if somebody repents. And this is what makes us different than the rest of the world. You know, I've seen over the years when a capital crime has been brought to fruition and somebody is taken to the electric chair, gas chamber, or given a lethal injection, that outside the prisons that carry out these judgments, there are people outside with signs rejoicing. We ought to weep for the fact that it has become such a country where we would be happy over the death of someone who has been created in the image of God. And again, this is demonically inspired. We need to have eyes where we can see this plainly when it rears its head. Now, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 15 says, when justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous, but terror to the evildoers. And so if there is a quick resolution to this, if justice is carried out quickly, there will be rejoicing. Not in a way that we're so happy, but in the fact that righteousness has remained. Now, this is the job of the government, to bring this justice to fruition. Romans 13, 4 says, "For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer." What this is saying here is the government has been set up by God to kill murderers, to kill those deserving death. The death penalty is in force in God's word. Again, I was talking about this with Patty. The death penalty has been in force for all time. Noah was given a law by God to carry out the death penalty for somebody who is a murderer. Moses was given the law, and somebody who was a murderer was to be given the death penalty. And in the book of Romans, that's why God tells us the government is set up to kill murderers. And when that takes place, justice is served, the people rejoice, and there is terror that comes upon the evildoers, which is a reduction in crime and murders and rape. All of those things will be reduced if we follow what the word says. And somebody might say, "Well, that's so callous. Can't we just get together with a kumbaya moment and have unity among us?" There is no unity when there is such a separation between light and dark. Those who are righteous need to stand up and say how evil this is in our country, and will not stand for it. Truth number five. Even though it may bring persecution, do not be silent about evil. As we have the opportunity, use wisdom, warn everyone about the effects of wickedness. And this would include abortion, transgenderism, failure to judiciously punish evildoers. I could make you a whole list of things. We all have somebody that we know that may be gay or on the road to transgenderism, trying to change their sex, which is impossible to do. Have you ever thought about lovingly going up to them? Like Charlie, I heard these words from Charlie. He said, "I first pray that you would be comfortable in the body you were created in, and then have you talk to somebody to help you with these decisions that you're making to mutilate your body." Things like that can be said to individuals. Why? Again, I defer back to how many killings have there been because of transgendered individuals. They give them these drugs. I heard one testimony of a father who called into a radio show, and he said his son is transitioning, and you can never know exactly what drugs they're being given, but he said whatever drugs don't seem to be working for the individual, they will change the regimen. And because of HIPAA laws, you cannot find out what drugs they're being given. But he did give a testimony, and he said, "I noticed that when they switched his drugs once, that he was unrecognizable. Things that came out of his mouth, he could not tell he was his own son." It actually changes the psyche of the individual. And it's almost like it makes them psychotic, that they have no feeling, no remorse, no angst about committing a crime or harming somebody else. I think it's our job to stand up and say, "I don't think you ought to do this. God loves you enough as you were created, and there is help for this." And do not in any way encourage anyone to go forward with this type of therapy. Or the parents. You know, in Hollywood, this is the trendy thing to do. Allow your child to change their sex or go by different pronouns. This is just a falsehood that's being perpetrated on the United States. Now, we do want to promote solidarity, so to speak, or unity. Mark chapter 3, verse 25 says, "If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand." They have done so many surveys on how separate we are now, the right and the left in this country. There is no middle ground. If you are anywhere on the right, it was Coldplay. I just saw this video. Coldplay, which is a band, got up and he was raising his hands, the lead singer,
And he said, you know, we just need to lift up the Kirks and Charlie, and how did this happen? And people derided him for doing this at a concert, saying, how evil you are. There is such a separation between good and evil, and you can see it every day. And we have a tendency to stay in the good camp or in the right camp. We need to get out of that and go to those who are on the left camp and engage them, just like Charlie was doing. And we need to find a way to do it with grace and humility. There are those who almost want to go on the attack, and there are numerous, ubiquitous on the internet. They want to put down everybody. We are in a country that allows freedom, but with freedom, there's great responsibility. And so we need to find a way to do that. And that includes all of us. It's just not the job of a pastor or a counselor. It's the job of those who bear the image of Christ. Anybody who is a human being has been created in the image of Christ, and we need to go out and do that and make sure people recognize the lies about diversity. The first lie, strength lies in differences, not in similarities. That is a lie from the pit. That was quoted by Stephen R. Covey. And I've seen that in commercials, that our diversity is our strength. No, it is not. It leads to our downfall. We need to be like-minded on the essentials of the Christian faith and promote those whenever we have the chance. Even our national motto about unity is there. E pluribus unum. Out of the many, one. We become one. These truths are self-evident. You cannot have a country that is divided and think that it is going to stand. Victor David Hansen, he just published a book. I downloaded it. And it's hard to listen to, but he talks about all of these empires in the past, no matter what empire it was and how they fell. He is a historian, like the Phoenicians and what happened to them, and the Spartans and how they fell, and Rome and how it fell, and Byzantium and how that fell. And he goes through all of the explanations of how they arrived at being taken over and how their confidence was so misplaced because they either had large armies or they had politicians that thought things that were not true. And he said, we're on the same track as all of these giant empires of the past. If you like a nice, boring read or listen to, you can pick up his book and listen to him. But it is true. It is right at the doorstep that we could fall easily if we don't stand for truth. One more truth. Take courage. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. He gave this word to Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Hundreds are getting saved because of the murder of Charlie. Many posts are taking place about turning back to Christ because of it. Have you seen those? On X, they're everywhere. People are saying, you know, I never really considered it, but I'm turning back to Christ. I'm going to go back to church. And also, the left has no idea what they have unleashed. You know, at 9/11, what happened? You know, the people from other countries said they have awakened the sleeping giant. Songs are being created, AI posts of what Charlie would say on that side of heaven, what he would say. And Patty and I watched one, and it was like Charlie saying, don't mourn for me, get out there and reach the people. And that's why they started the podcast again, the TPUSA podcast. Charlie's chair was empty, but they said Charlie would have said, get back in there and do the job. Speak up. Make sure everybody knows the truth first of Jesus Christ and then what right and wrong is, and learn how to correctly and humbly debate the issues which are out there. We need to do this in a winsome fashion. Several have committed to continuing the work of Charlie, and starting with Erica. She's going to have a podcast once a week where she's going to talk about this. And a woman who is grieving, she has strength where I don't know she's garnering it from. The only place can be God himself. And it's so sad to see her over the casket of her husband holding his hand. There's videos about that too. And she is a genuine, godly woman. You know, she is in the process of getting her doctorate in theology. That's where she was going. And finally, don't seek vengeance because it belongs to the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.'" Let's pray. Father, it's so sad. It's so difficult to lose somebody who was so good. You gave him gifts beyond measure. He will not be replaced so easily. And Father, for Erica, how can she find love again that measures up to her husband, who was so winsome, who was so good? Not that he was perfect, Lord. As I said earlier, Lord, he recognized he was a sinner, as do we. We are sinners to the core. But you have given us a task to be those who image you here on this earth, to be a witness. May we not be complacent. May we not be apathetic. May we stand up for righteousness, but doing so as you would, Lord, in a way that meets the person right where they are, not to seek vengeance or berate others, not to cause harm, but to bring your love to them. We pray for the wisdom to do this, Lord, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Please stand as we sing our closing song.